encouraging, and then it's always good to get together as a congregation to give worship and praise to God, you know, as a congregation. So very thank you for being here today. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, please do so. Story, as you know, comes from the text that was read to us. I thought about giving Brother Frederick all 51 verses of the chapter, but and then all I'd have to do is leave the invitation song. It would take about a 20-minute reading, but I spared it. But the story begins with Israel is at war with the Philistines. And the Israelites and the Philistines are camped on opposite sides of the valley. Philistines on one side, Israelites on the other. The chapter begins with an introduction to Goliath. In verse 4, Goliath is said to be the champion of the Philistines. And being the champion of the Philistines, he issues a challenge to the Israelites. He says in verse 10, I defy the armies of Israel this day. He says, give me a man that we may fight together. Battle lines are drawn. Well, it just so happens that David is visiting the Israelite camp. He hears the challenge that Goliath is issuing, and he offers to fight the giant. Well, when Goliath saw David, in verse 42 it says he disdained him or belittled him. It says, for he was a youth, ruddy and good looking. You wonder, what can a youth do? But when David, of course, you know, David wins the battle. Hope I didn't spoil the ending for you. But in verse 58, David comes back to Saul, and Saul says to David, whose son are you, young man? Young man. Again, what can a youth do? Well, David answered, I'm the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. So this lesson is going to look at David as an example for our youth when they are facing a Goliath challenge, whatever that challenge may be. Because sometimes I think young people wonder about the lessons I present, will there ever be a lesson for me as a young person? Well, today's it. The young people get a direct charge. But listen in. We're going to look at the qualities of David in this lesson. Qualities or descriptions of David that enabled him to overcome the challenge, a Goliath challenge, as we say. And we want to copy or emulate these descriptions of David. Number one, and these are things that a young person can do. Number one, in verse 17, he's a youth who obeyed his parents. Verse 17 says, Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp. So Jesse is sending David to this valley where the Israelites and the Philistines are located. And David is to bring food for his brothers. They joined the army of King Saul and the Israelites to fight the Philistines. So it's while carrying out his father's command that David's moment comes. So young people, we sometimes wonder, when will my turn be to lead the charge? Or when will it be my turn to participate or to be involved? David's king when he's obeying his father's command. And when he's obeying the father's command, arrives at the camp of the Israelites, he hears the challenge. What some people would consider an obstacle, David considers an opportunity. So we say, young people, your time will come. But first of all, look at this illustration of David. David's time came when he was obeying his father's command. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. So being young people, there will be opportunities to serve God, and one of those, or more than one of those times, know the story. David is a youth who volunteered to accept the challenge. In verse 32, he's arrived at the Israelite camp. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," meaning Goliath. "Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. No one else is going to tackle the task." And so David's hand goes up, "I'll do it. I'll do it." Not because of pride, not because of fame, not to get attention. He's not thinking about personal glory. He was just tired of seeing God's army stalled. He says, "Nobody's doing anything," or that's seemingly. "They're just standing and watching." So David answers the call and he says, "I'll go." His hand goes up. Number three, in verse 37, the youth of faith. In verse 37, David says to Saul, because Saul has said, "David, you can't do this." But David said to Saul, "The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Verse 45, it's repeated. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied." And the third time David expresses his faith in verse 47. "The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands." I just got to put in your note, it's certainly possible for young people to have faith. Especially encourage you to have faith when it comes to doing service or ministry for God. In some form or fashion, whatever it would be, I have faith. You know, in the Old Testament, the wise man Solomon encouraged young people in chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." You can do it. God can be remembered in youth. Don't minimize that. He can do it. You can do it. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "From childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures." From childhood. He says, "Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." The value of knowing the Bible story, the value of knowing Scripture, helps not only to accomplish your salvation, but puts you in service to God. So young people, you can be a young person of faith. Of faith. Number four. He was a youth who refused to be discouraged. See, David didn't escape criticism. And neither will you as a young person. You don't have to be a young person to be criticized either. You can be an old person. But this lesson is on you. You're going to receive criticism, especially when perhaps standing for the right. David first receives criticism from his brother, his oldest brother. You'd think his oldest brother would want to encourage. But he discourages David. In verse 28, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come here?" And then he asked, "And who did you leave the sheep with in the wilderness? Aren't you a shepherd boy? Didn't you have a job back at home?" His oldest brother said, "What are you doing here? You've just come down to see the battle." Then David receives criticism from the king. Ooh. You're not only going to receive criticism from the family, young people. You may receive criticism from royalty, from the king. King Saul said in verse 33, Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine." In other words, he filled his mind up with the can'ts. "You can't. You can't do that. You can't do that. What are you thinking?" He said, "You can't go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth." Philistine does to David. Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? In other words, you send this little bitty thing out after this giant of a man. The Philistine cursed David by his gods. Well, David answered him. Young people can have an answer to the criticism that comes. Told his brother, I'm here on dad's business. Told King Saul, God's delivered me before and he'll do it again. He tells Goliath, after Goliath threatens him, what he's going to do with David. David says, oh yeah, I'll feed your flesh to the birds and the beasts, you big dummy. Well, there's so many words.
Yeah.
The message got across. You think you're going to do that to me? Oh, yeah. Young people say that a lot. Yeah. Well, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, let no man despise thy youth. You see the challenge, young people, and you've accepted it. You want to do it. Don't be discouraged. There'll be people that give you discouraging words. You won't escape that. David didn't. But he didn't allow that to deter him from the task at hand. So he goes forth to meet the giant. Number 5 in your notes, verses 38 through 40, he was a youth that used what he had in his hand. Here's the story, beginning of verse 38. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor. All the best intentions. Says, here, David, I know what you're about to do. Here, this has always worked for me. I think it'll work for you. So Saul gives David what Saul had. Put a bronze helmet on his head. Clothed him with a coat of mail. Well, David fastened Saul's sword to his armor, tried to walk, but he couldn't. He hadn't tested these. These weren't proven for David. So David took them off. He took his staff in his hand. What do you have in your hand? What do you have? David had a staff. I'm going to fight this Philistine, this big giant of a man, this champion of the Philistines. With my staff in my hand, he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch that he had, and his sling in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Always wonder when you read the story, as you know the ending, it just took one stone into his head. David took 5 smooth stones. Why did David take 5 stones? Only took one. I don't know. Well, in a sense, I have an answer to my own question. But I know Goliath had a brother. The Bible says that. I don't know how many brothers, but I know his brother had 4 sons. And so, by the way, that's in 2 Samuel 21, verse 19, where Goliath has a brother and his brother has 4 sons. Somebody write that down. 2 Samuel 21, verse 19. So there's part of the answer. So maybe David goes out thinking, if I slay this giant of a man, his brother or his nephews may come after me, so I'm taking 5 stones, one for each of them. Anticipation. Think about what lies ahead. You have to prepare for battle. And so I think that's what David has done. But he used what he had. You use what you have in your hand. Don't think, if I had your talent, I'd do something great. Well, you use your talent. Use what you have. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, it says, if there's first a willing mind, it's accepted according to what one has, not according to what he has not. You use what you have. I can't do what he's doing. You don't have to do what somebody else is doing. You do what you have. Use what works for you. Number 6, in verse 50, he was a youth who prevailed. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. Jonathan, Saul's son, a little bit later after the story, they're together in 1 Samuel 19, verse 4, says, Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father. He said, for Jonathan is veiled in light. In 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 5, it says, David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And God gives you and me the victory. When we stay on his side and see that the battle is the Lord's, and we use what we have in our hands. In 1 John 5, verse 4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith. Number 7, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5, it says, David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. Another quality or characteristic of David. Behaved wisely. Verse 14, these are all in 1 Samuel 18. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 30. So it was, whenever they went out, that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. You want to have a good name? You know, young people? Yeah, I want to have a good name. I want to be popular. I want to be accepted. Then you behave yourself wisely. Behave yourself. And that's the last one, number 8. David was a youth who was popular. The ending of 1 Samuel 18, verse 5. So David went out wherever Saul sent him, behaved wisely, and here's the finish of the text. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of all Saul's servants. You want to be popular? Young people, you want to be accepted? David did well, you know, later in life, because he did well earlier in life. And that's a principle for all of us. Well later in life, when we do well earlier. So that's the lesson for David. Always at the close of the lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church. Never been baptized for remission of sins, we can accomplish that, but some things need to precede that. Don't want to convert you to baptism. That's all you're going to do is just be baptized. You're not going to be any better after baptism than you were before baptism. It takes repentance to change your life. So when you think about a simple plan or formula, number one, you need to hear the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his son. So that biblical message. And number two, believe it. And then when you believe that message, as Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, you'll want to repent, change your life, or you perish. And then as the Ethiopian did with Philip preaching to him Jesus, he said, here's water hindering me from being baptized. And Philip said, oh yes, if you believe, you may. See, there's something that goes before baptism. So he said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip said, stop the chariot. And they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So when you think about conversion, as Peter said in Acts 3, 19, except you be converted, be converted. You know, I've used this illustration before, but faith, three distinct things. Faith, repentance, and baptism. In conversion. Faith changes your mind from unbelief to belief. Faith by itself does not change your life. It does not change your relationship with God. Faith changes your belief from unbelief to belief. Repentance changes your life from self-service to serving God. Repentance does not change your belief. I know a lot of good people, morally Chamber of Commerce people, that do not have faith but are living fine lives. Repentance changes your life. Number 3, baptism changes your relationship. By the way, faith doesn't change your relationship, and neither does repentance. Baptism changes your relationship from being not a child of God to being a child of God. And that's a reason, an explanation why some people don't live any better after baptism than they did before, is because baptism is not designed to change your life. Baptism is not designed to change your faith. Baptism changes your relationship when these two things precede it. You believe, and you're ready to change your life. Now you can be baptized. Don't you be baptized unless you want to have preceded with faith and repentance, or you're not going to be any better afterwards. I hope I'm trying to encourage you. I don't mean to say with this illustration, but that's what accomplishes conversion, our salvation. If you heard that gospel message, you believe it, you're ready to make that decision. That's on your mind. That's your desire. You can do it any time. But if you want to do it right now while we're here to rejoice with you in that decision, please come and have a seat beside me while we're singing this song of invitation. Let's stand together.